Hey everybody, it's Paul Scheer from How Did This Get Made? I wanted to let you know that we have a brand new website. It's hdtgminfo.com. You can find out everything that you need to know about How Did This Get Made on that site, where we're doing live shows, where to buy tickets, what the movies are. Everything and anything is there. And I want to let you know that we have shows coming up in New York and Denver and in some other places that we can't quite announce yet. So bookmark hdtgminfo.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Squarespace, a do-it-yourself website builder. Go to squarespace.com/cage, as in Nicolas Cage, that's C-A-G-E, and start a free trial with no credit card required. That's right, no credit card. And when you're ready to purchase Squarespace, just make sure you use the offer code LITERALLY, because, yeah, I guess we use the word literally a bunch in this show. So you'll get a 10% discount if you use the offer code LITERALLY. I love Squarespace. Go to it. Fans of gratuitous side boob, you're in luck. We saw barbed wire, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, cause you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am joined, as always, by my two co-hosts, Jason Mantzoukas. How are you, Jason?
Pretty good. What's up?
And June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
Good. Hi, Paul.
I have a very special guest, a guy that we've been meaning to get on the show for quite some time. You know him from his podcasting empire, from NPR. Please welcome Jesse Thorne.
Hello, sir. How are you?
America's radio sweetheart.
Yeah, America's radio sweetheart.
Or have you abandoned that moniker?
I don't use it on the radio anymore because I would get these emails from people who thought that someone else was America's radio sweetheart. And then I would have...
You'd have to defend your title?
They would be like, how dare you?
I would say, so I used to get a lot of Ira Glass, like people would email me and say, the real America's radio sweetheart is Ira Glass. And I would email them back and I would say, I agree. When I say it, it is a joke.
Nice.
It's intended as a joke.
Nice.
It's not to be taken literally.
Well, this movie that that we watched should be intended as a joke.
Holy cow.
First of all, Paul, I have to say, I don't know if what we saw you could even classify as side boob. Because that's kind of full boob.
Well, in one scene, there is like full boob.
Yes.
There's a lot of side boob.
Look, there's side boob.
Right,
there's
but I guess what I'm
boob.
Saying is side
there's
boob as
for
we
everybody
know
here.
It
whoa,
doesn't.
Whoa. I think you've just gone too far, Paul, when you say there's enough for everybody here. The fact of the matter is there is both too much and too little.
Yep.
They have found the middle ground that is completely, perfectly wrong.
Yes. Movie is barbed wire. Pam Anderson is a...
Pamela Anderson Lee.
Yes,
at
right,
this point.
Lee.
She's
I wrote
married
that down,
to Tommy
yes.
Lee, yep.
And she, she's like kind of a bounty hunter, bar owner, stripper, person who fights
well,
in the
civil... Well, I don't think she is a stripper. I have to take issue with that.
Okay.
I think we saw her...
Stripping.
Stripping to simply collect one of her...
She was undercover.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
No. That was at her bar, wasn't it?
No, was at another bar.
Oh, okay.
She also
Although that other
is...
bar seemed pretty close in proximity, yeah. So it would follow that...
Well, no, wait. What other
people,
bar?
The bar we she should, started at.
We should explain that in this film, Pamela Anderson Lee is a woman who wears... There's a black leather bustier,
yes,
and manages the bar from Wayne's World.
No, I would say she is. See, I would go a little bit differently. I would say she wears various black leather bustiers and manages the bar from Pluto Nash. this is another movie that takes place on all the same sets as Pluto Nash.
Oh, yeah. I wrote down, I want to talk about set design in this movie because it was bananas.
Yep.
I mean, so much so that there is like a computer joystick on one scene. And the bar, it's like the bar, things are smoking. I don't understand what's in the bar.
You never get any sense of that space and what the levels are.
Hammerhead,
in that space.
The bar.
Hammerhead, the bar. That it is as if it is. When the movie started, I felt like we were having all of our movies mashed into one. It is the bar from Roadhouse and Pluto Nash mashed together.
With some Judge Dredd thrown in too. Yep. It's another. Let's just set the tone for the film. This is the opening credit. Scroll that goes up just to give you an idea of where we're at, what's going on in the world.
The opening credit, Nick Scroll.
Yes. Yeah, that was really good.
The old democracy is overthrown by a tyrannical new group called the Congressional Directorate. Every city in the nation is under martial law, except one, Steel Harbor, the last free city. A secluded island of shrinking independence, it is a place marked by chaos and crime, providing a home for a new kind of mercenary.
That is the setup, which is then we talked about
I know that in the audience you're thinking they just got a golden voiced, you know, voiceover actor to read the text that it both crawls across the screen and for the benefit of blind viewers,
yep,
it is read to you simultaneously.
Then not two minutes later, Pam Anderson in voiceover says all of the exact same stuff in a slightly different way. They reiterate the setup of this. They talk about, they reiterate where they are and what's happened. They reboot every 5 minutes as if
you have to
it's
assume,
Memento.
Yes.
You have to assume that a studio executive watched the first cut of this film, said, I'm sorry, director of Barbed Wire, but the setup of your world is completely incoherent. And he said, so I should repeat it a few more times?
Yeah.
Yes.
That was his take home.
I have
that.
A different theory. I think that the setup was always in the script, but then Pam Anderson came in for a very long day of ADR because she is, and for our listeners, like, that means a day where you go in and record over some of your lines if there's sound problems.
Or all of your lines.
It sounds like every single one of her lines is ADR.
There are huge...
When they were there, they just said, why don't you read this as
well? Why don't you read the entire script?
We'll have it.
And we'll just take the lines that you think work.
Exactly. And then that made it into the final.
This is, meanwhile, all over... The opening title sequence takes place, which is just essentially Pam Anderson doing a wet t-shirt contest, like water all over her, like crazy, sexy.
It's a bar.
There's shadow nipples in this.
Yes.
There's nipples
you
shrouded in shadow.
You keep thinking you've seen nipples, but you're not.
I was like, oh, she gets naked in this? By the way, I love this strip club that she's stripping at in the beginning because it's like a Gallagher-themed strip club because there's plenty of water, almost a monsoon amount of water, and the waiters are in like ponchos. So the waiters are like, oh, I get soaked here every night, so I have to wear ponchos. So.
And she is hit in the head with a giant hammer at the end.
Yeah.
This is, have you never been to the sexy nightclub at Marine World Africa USA?
I mean, that much water.
She was actually in character as an orca in that scene.
That much water in a strip club is disastrously unhygienic.
Oh.
There is just waterborne diseases all over that place.
Imagine Flashdance and then times that bucket of water by a pool.
Yes.
Like that, like a pool full of water.
And there there weren't any drains.
No. And this is like a dystopian future. So this is, the water is not clean.
There's not a lot of infrastructure investment.
No. In Steel Harbor?
No.
Are you kidding?
Steel Harbor.
I don't think so, Jesse.
Steel Harbor, by the way, this whole movie looks like it was shot on the docks of Los Angeles.
Even if they were like downtown, it's the docks.
Yeah.
They're like, the airport's right past here. Driving down a dock. There is no way at the end of this road is an airport. The end of this road is water.
They spent all their money adding levels to the bar. Like they're like,
yep.
They got a warehouse.
The
and
bathtub
like,
level.
One level? They're like, no.
Yeah. And making things that wouldn't explode.
And let's just talk about our introduction to the character, obviously, is Pam Anderson stripping. So we get the sense of her right away. But then some guy in the audience yells, take it off, babe.
Mm-mm.
At which point,
nope.
We don't know. This is like when Marty McFly is called chicken. This sets her off. She takes off her stiletto-heeled shoe, chucks it across the room. It punctures the man's head, killing him.
No, he's not killed.
Oh, he's not killed.
He's not killed because a moment later he is being dragged out of the place semi-conscious.
Oh, was he semi-conscious?
Yeah, all right. He was like an A-team killing.
Okay, all right.
He's not really killed.
Okay, good.
But don't take that the wrong way. She kills about 4 dozen other people in the rest of the movie.
But I just love that her throwing a stiletto heel at a man's head after saying, take it off. That was a call. Like, I am dancing.
Yeah.
I am dancing in water right now. Yeah. You do not do that.
Well, what's strange is that her trigger word is babe.
Yeah.
Her name is Barb. So there is a real problem there of like, I didn't call you babe, I called you Barb, that's your name. Like, she could easily mishear a lot here. It's not great.
I gotta say though, there were points in this movie where I was into sort of this weirdly feminist character who's not you know, she's not afraid to wear her sexy little outfits and be badass and get upset when people call her babe, which I can understand.
She's a real third wave feminist icon.
Yes, but just it's
FYI,
just tricky because the
if
first
you are keeping
moment,
track of, if you want to just piece together how Pam Anderson looks, her waist during the movie was 17 inches. Just FYI. Yeah. 17 inches. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, her waist looks crazy small in proportion to her breasts, which is also happening. But it's she's a flawed character because you do not... I honestly looked
because
at the
clock.
Because
she keeps murdering.
Well, there's that. But I looked at the clock. It wasn't until an hour and 14 minutes that she has her first sympathetic moment. And that's when... I don't want to jump all over the place,
no, please,
but
go,
her
go,
brother
yeah.
dies because
what?
Of the congressional... What
her brother,
called?
Her brother, who looks like a cross between Riggins from Friday Night Lights yep. and...
A woman.
And a woman. Like, I was going to say between like Riggins and Barb. Like,
For the introduction of that character, whose name is Charlie... Until he was called Charlie, I was convinced it was a woman.
It looked like was Katie Sackhoff.
Oh, see, I thought it was... it looked like what's her name from the Terminator movies.
Linda Hamilton.
I thought it was Linda Hamilton.
Yeah. Was that Tommy Lee? I just assumed Ooh, because
Charlie?
He was so bad at acting, and I don't know
Charlie?
What Tommy Lee looks like.
No.
Charlie
was played by a gentleman.
That was not Tommy Lee.
I'm mostly familiar with Tommy Lee Schwantz.
Well, you might know this. The guy who played Charlie was Jack Noseworthy, who you might know... From
because he's very noseworthy. Nailed
yeah,
it.
Yep. Encino. You might know him from Encino Man.
Sure, of course.
Fat Girls
mm-hmm. and Remains of the Day.
Undercover Brother.
Here's a serious question about Barb, though. Are we to understand that she became this angry because her boyfriend Axel left her?
Okay, well, we got to.
Is that
okay,
the
hang on.
Yeah.
We
of
have
her?
To break down some specifics, I think, for the audience. In this dystopian future, this is post the second American Civil War, right?
Yeah. Yes. No, it's currently going on, I believe.
Still?
Yeah.
In the midst of the second American Civil
Well, sort
Civil
of,
War.
Because it seems like it's pretty much over. The revolutionaries are. Okay. Like, it seems like the revolutionaries have lost. It's their last gasp, is this
Steel
thing.
City.
Right.
Is the last free city is Steel Harbor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, be cool.
Steel Harbor.
Anyway.
Steel Harbor, 2017.
But, so,
named after the Los Angeles docks.
Yeah. Pam Anderson, her brother Charlie, and her ex-boyfriend, what's that guy's name?
Who? Oh, yeah, the guy.
Who is in Once Were Warriors,
yes,
right?
Yes, he has a very tough-to-pronounce name.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Axel.
It's Axel. His name is Axel in the movie. They were part of, like, the military on the one side.
Tamara Morrison.
Yes, who they lost, basically. And
but basically, can we just talk about that
flashback
scene? The flashback
is amazing.
Her in army gear, her blonde hair flowing outside of her
helmet on a skew.
Toned down makeup for that scene.
Slightly.
Slightly.
But I just love that her blonde hair was just like all about. Like that was not. Yeah.
I enjoyed the jaunty tilt of the helmet.
Like on the edge of a helicopter. And she's
G'day,
like, where's
governor?
Axel? And Axel doesn't come back. So she loses all hope and becomes a mercenary because her boyfriend betrays her.
That was actually the day that they were shooting the sexy rebels calendar. So she was in costume for that. It's a fundraiser.
And do we ever find out why Axel didn't come back?
He gets into it at great length.
Oh, I must have zoned out. I watched this movie, by the way, at a Starbucks on Largemont. So
I watched that
whole opening scene.
If
like,
I walked into
view.
A Starbucks and I saw a woman sitting at a table
Not
watching
even at a table,
barbed wire,
sitting at the bar
I would be
at
like,
Starbucks.
This is why LA is the worst city on earth. I would be like, this
I
is the problem.
I was the weirdest lady ever was.
I will say that every time a dialogue scene did come on, I found myself zoning out. And
then
go, what just happened? And then I realized, after that happened, three times, like, oh, maybe the movie is just constructed in a way that...
Do you know why that's why every 10 minutes someone tells you where they are in the story. That's why every 10 minutes there is somebody whose responsibility
I
is to explain entirely what has happened up to this point.
I did not follow the film.
Yeah, no. I didn't even know they were brothers. I didn't even know they were brother and sister even, so that was my fault until the end. This is the one thing I want to talk about as a macro point.
Oh, yeah.
In the very beginning of the movie, Pam Anderson is like rescuing this girl from whatever, and she takes out this like Gatling gun thing, or like a gun with like hooks on it. And the girl goes, "What is that for?" And Pam Anderson responds, "Have you ever seen Batman?"
Yeah.
And then she shoots the thing, and then she flies up like Batman, like Michael Keaton Batman.
Yep.
So we are to understand. This is in 2017.
Yeah.
This is a world in which they are familiar with Batman. They are familiar with Sonny and Cher. I don't want to get into Hal until later because that's a good reveal. But for some reason, Nazism came back into fashion because they dress like Nazis.
Yep.
And also, 1940s, the hipsters have taken over, everyone dresses like 1940s.
It's like a Morris Day in the Time video.
By the way, because Morris Day in the Time is the opening song, but not them, it's a cover of Word Up, right? Is the opening song that she's stripping to?
Yeah, they probably couldn't afford it.
It's like a metal cover.
It's a weird cover of a Morris Day. And I was like, on what planet can they not afford a Morris Day in the Time? So this is mental.
Oh, I think that was Welcome to Planet Boom, written by... Maybe it's a different song. Welcome to Planet Boom by Tommy Lee.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Oh, it's a Tommy Lee song.
That it wasn't until the end of the movie that this occurred to me, and then I was ashamed that it hadn't occurred to me earlier.
Jason, I'm not going to stop you because you look like you might flip out if you're not allowed to get this out.
Guys, did everybody else know that this movie was Casablanca?
Oh, I figured that out, and I was like, it's
the movie
a direct
is
ripoff.
Beat for beat Casablanca. Wow. With her as Bogart, and he's
Xander
got
Xander Berkeley
and,
as...
And her ex has married a resistance asset that they have to get on a plane in order to get out of town, and they sacrifice each other's love for the sake of the resistance moving forward.
Yes.
The entire movie is Casablanca.
I mean, and it's almost like scene for scene Casablanca.
That's but when I realized it. I was like, holy shit.
Would you guys say it's like at least like 5 or 10% worse, though?
Let's not get crazy.
Okay. I mean,
know is that the Sam in Casablanca, played against Sam, I guess would be the DJ who was like, hey, this is a message to Kelly who got her STD test back.
My favorite character, Curly, be?
Wait, who is Curly?
Okay, Udo Kier?
So there Curly is the waiter.
A German guy.
Yeah, Udo Kier.
Who has like a face tattoo.
Yes,
and Curly. He wears a wig sometimes. Sometimes his head is shaved completely
bald. Yeah, that was
bald.
Wait, he wears a wig sometimes?
Yeah, he wears a wig. Remember he walked in and wore that wig?
There's a scene where he's wearing a wig.
No!
He never
wears a wig.
Oh, he comes in and she goes, take that wig off. And he's like, all right.
What?
And he takes off his wig.
How did I miss
we
that?
We must have seen a different cut.
No. You watched it.
Okay, well, this might explain why at one point he's called
Curly. Did you see the Starbucks version?
The coffee bean and tea leaf one cuts out a lot of...
The main difference is they remove the wig and the whole soundtrack is Norah Jones.
Who is that character? I'm not that familiar with Casablanca to say.
Oh, I don't know who that would be. Yeah, that's true. I'm not sure.
So Sydney Greenstreet?
She's like she's in this bar. She doesn't want to leave the bar because of her war trauma.
Right.
She just wants to, but she supports the bar using
her moonlighting
as a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
Who goes undercover as hookers and strippers.
Yeah. She has a great VO line where she goes, I had to do a little moonlighting to keep my bar running. Girls got to do what a girl's got to do. And I was like,
your bar running.
Well, because that's when
her bar is full of people.
All
the bar
is
packed. I didn't understand why the DJ both had a wireless.
Just chicks making out with each other.
Yeah. I didn't understand where the DJ had a wireless microphone in front of him and then an old-timey regular microphone in front of him as well. Like, I couldn't figure out what was going on.
Isn't it so he can hear himself? One's a prop.
Yeah.
One is a total prop for him. I want to talk about the scene that boggled my mind, the torture scene in the beginning where they're torturing a woman's boobs, right?
Yeah. Boobs and pussy.
And vagina,
She's wearing a metal torture bikini.
Yes, a torture bikini and it's like, shock her again. It's like, all to her boobs. And then they electrocute her through boobs and vagina.
Yes, it literally is like so overtly just like, I want metal torture devices that are just covering her tits and pussy.
Yes.
And that's what, and then he pushes a button and she goes crazy.
And it's in a boxing ring for no reason.
Did that give you second thoughts about your barbed wire in conversation with Naomi Klein fantasies?
Yeah, that was a tough one to work through.
Yeah, is barbed wire, like, what do you think of Barb?
Well, as I said, it was an hour and 14 minutes till she has, like, her first human moment.
But is that
in the movie.
A good thing?
I thought it was tough. I mean, what I appreciated about her was that she uses her sexuality in sort of a powerful way, but I wish we had seen her just also use her brains and, you know,
moxie, I'm sorry. But no. She doesn't have brains. She doesn't have brains. She's a Stone Cold Dum Dum.
Can we just? I just want to give people an idea of the crackling dialogue. This is when Barb, who has not seen her husband or her boyfriend for quite some time, they reunite. So you would think this is like a moment where there would just be a little bit of something. I actually had to edit this clip down because there's so much pausing between all of her lines. But this is
while no doubt somebody is saying into her ear her next line.
Yeah. So take a listen. This
why waste a good bullet? I thought I told you never to come back.
I came here to do a job. The biggest operation I ever signed up for. And I came ready for anything the Congressionals could lob at me. The only thing I wasn't prepared for was running into you.
You'll get over it. I did.
I wouldn't have come here unless I had to.
Oh, I wouldn't be here if I knew you were coming.
Oh, God damn it.
Making out.
Now they start making out.
Making out. He's married.
Am I interrupting something?
Lovely, you brought company.
Bob, this is my wife, Cora D.
How impressive. I'm sure you'll have very strong, smart children.
Look, I know this is awkward for all of us.
Yeah.
And Bob, you gotta know, all I ever wanted back in Seattle was to disappear with you and never look back. The war changed that.
The war changed everything. Good one.
So that
good one.
Good. That is, by the way, the pacing of dialogue too. That's a quick. That's a long time where there's a lot of silence.
Oh, well, they had to operate various machinery in the. But what's amazing
in the
to
Pam
me,
Anderson robot?
What's amazing to me about Pam Anderson's sort of, I guess you would say, tone in this, is that it may be because she recorded all of her lines in ADR. She looped in all of her lines in one marathon session where she forgot to act. But it's basically, she uses the same tone, that tone of voice that you just heard is used for every interaction in the film. So there's no difference.
No change.
She could be saying, drop your trousers and let's go to town. She could be saying, I've got to go to the grocery store. I'm out of yams. And it's the exact same.
Which, like, by the way, though, halfway through the movie, I realized there's something rather brave about that.
Oh,
because
boy.
You think it was a choice?
I don't know.
You think the choice of her being a tranquilizer?
If you told me she learned all of her lines phonetically because she did not speak English, I would believe you.
I guess
Arnold Schwarzenegger is the equivalent.
Barb, the character, is so emotionally cut off.
Uh-huh.
It's something about it. Something about it. And I think she's
doing a Humphrey Bogart impression.
I've got it.
I'm not kidding. Not like a verbal Humphrey, but a...
Right.
Like, he is very measured for all of Casablanca. There is no, you're not getting anything from him. He's calm, cool, and collected for the whole movie.
But this version made her look like she was on tranquilizers.
Yes,
and that
which
she
probably
sleeping.
Was.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's upsetting because it's almost numbing. It's almost a very numbing, quiet tone.
Outside the window. A tsunami. I've got to go to the grocery store.
I'm out of tampons. I love it. At one point, she changes out of a bustier so you can have a little bit of a sexy scene where she's like getting undressed and changes into a different bustier.
That scene is also in front of our good friend, Xander Berkeley, who, by the way...
We need to talk to Xander Berkeley about this movie.
With Xander, 100%. But she's changing behind a screen that's pretty much transparent.
It shows nipples. You can see nipples through the screen. Do you have any idea how hard it is to get a good profile on a nipple? You have to have a prominent nipple.
Jesse, I really do.
Thank you.
I really do.
What kind of needle were they threading for this PG-13? Because they're like, we gotta show as much as we can. Like, I've never seen a movie come so close to full-on nudity.
And is it rated PG-13?
It has to be, right?
I think there's only one full-on boob,
and inexplicably, it's in front of her ex-boyfriend and his wife.
Right,
but that's covered in, that's
when she opens her robe and one tit is exposed.
Let's talk about
this. Is after the bubble bath.
I think it's important to address the problem with the nudity in this film. You go to see a film starring famous Playboy model and famous boob haver. Pamela Anderson.
Lee.
Yes.
Lee, you're going...
It's
going
to work out.
You're expecting at least some nudity. So what I... And this is what you get. In the opening sequence, there are moments where you think you might have seen nudity.
Yes.
So they set it up. They're like, you know what this is going to be? A nudity-centric film. Then there's nothing but bustiers for an hour. There's an hour of bustiers, and you think, well, they're at least going to have a steamy sex scene. The one brief moment of nudity in this film is just she drops her robe and puts on something else. It's just her changing clothes. Yeah.
She's not embarrassed. Millions of people have seen her naked in sex tapes, in magazines, in videos. Why?
This is my theory.
Yes.
I have a theory on this. You know how a lot of famous actresses will have a clause in their contract that says that they will not do nude scenes?
Yes.
You know about this. I think she may have a clause in her contract that says she has to appear nude in the film. And so because they had written a film with no sex, they just had to add one where she changes from a robe into a dress so they could briefly show one of her boobs.
I think it's PG-13. I think they saw this as a potential franchise that has like superhero-ish type vibe. There's no blood in it. There's nothing. Like this, I think, is a PG-13 grab. And you can have like a fleeting tit in a PG-13.
Can you only have one, though?
If it's non-sexual.
No, it was rated R. Rated R for violence, nudity, and sexuality.
Oh,
that's
then I don't get it.
That is crazy.
I'll tell you why, because I think ultimately they probably tested it this way. I think the character is a big problem in terms of likability. I think they probably felt we do not want to make our heroine a sex symbol.
She pretends to be a whore.
Wait, what now?
That's June. Why the movie stars Judy Dench.
June, what did you just say?
Okay, here's
we
the
don't
thing.
Want our heroine to be a sex symbol. We have cast Pamela Anderson Lee.
90% of her tits are out during
enough.
This movie.
Everybody, everybody in America knows what it's like for her to swallow an 11-inch cock. Like, there's right. no
Look,
way
fine.
That's
I think
possible.
I think it would make her more likable if she was naked.
I disagree.
I would have liked a naked gunfight.
Yes.
Right? I'm capitalizing on that if I'm making this movie.
June is legitimately upset
I'm
right now.
I'm very upset.
We are insulting
Eastern Promises style.
The other thing I think might have happened is that maybe they felt, I think that her breasts hanging low.
They don't hang low.
They're proud.
There's one shot of them, though, where they're not in a bustier, and they look very different from the rest of the shots where they are in a bustier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they probably felt she is sexier with almost being almost entirely nude, but not nude.
Can I ask you a question? Behind. Would you say, I know that it seems like you're concerned about us insulting this. Would you say that Pamela Anderson Lee is a Carrie Nation for our time?
Look, I have to say, I'm serious about this. I do think this could have been an awesome movie with the right female lead.
It could have been a campy,
especially at the
fun,
time it came out. And I do think that the size of her breasts are so pornographic already in clothing
yes.
that to reveal them on camera would have... You at what point do you reveal them? Because men are waiting to see them the whole time.
Then reveal. That's my point.
Well,
I would have gone straight into it. I would have just been like, now she's naked, and now she's going to be naked over here, or not naked over here, or whatever. She could seduce someone, or she could shoot.
Like,
I don't care.
Places, nudity.
Who cares?
Not nudity.
But it's almost like to me, it almost seemed weird that she wasn't naked.
Yes.
Based on the presumption that we have of her in society at that point being like absolutely a sex symbol.
But
in my mind,
back to why she doesn't want to be called babe.
But in my mind, though, then it should be a PG-13 movie.
Yes.
If I knew this movie was R, I think I'm looking at it in a very different way.
I guess so.
By the way, I don't know if they knew how to advertise this movie at all, because I'm looking at a poster online and it says, "From the producers of The Mask." Barb, why? Like,
wow.
Are they trying to get that audience in? Like, that's not the. It's like
what is it about this babe thing? Really perplexed me because there's if it was bitch,
Right.
If it was a
yes.
If it was some word that is generally considered to be insulting.
Babe, yeah, babe is not.
I totally understood it.
Because it's dismissive?
Wow. Yeah, because it's being called a baby. It's completely.
Oh,
like,
really?
Or a hero. We it could be being called a hero pig.
Here. I would much rather be called a bitch than babe.
Really?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
You'd
100%.
Rather me be like, oh, instead of coming and
because
be like, oh, hey, babe,
like
what's going on?
That's infantilizing her.
Yeah.
And that's making her small and little as opposed to what she
is. Is it weird for you that they made her wear a diaper in the movie?
By the way, I want to see that
again,
movie.
Another scene that was hard for me to work through.
Yeah. I want to see someone change her like a baby.
Can we talk about the
after she made a messy BM.
But it's probably so small with her 17-inch waist.
Yeah.
She's pooping out like
she's
rabbit
pooping pellets.
Pellets.
Yeah.
It's like winning a one arm band.
Oh, one of my favorite lines.
Bling, bling, bling.
Is someone her real name is amazing.
Gee whiz. Gee whiz.
Her real name is Barbara Kapetsky.
Yes.
And I love that someone calls her Miss Kapetsky and she goes, Miss Kapetsky died in the war.
Yeah.
I'm barbed wire. I was like, I want that line as the first line of this movie, you dummies. It comes late in the game.
Miss Kapetsky was my personal secretary. She was great with a dictaphone.
Miss Kapetsky is a preposterous fake name that only a dumb screenwriter would come up with, not to be confused with the receptionist on Moonlighting.
Miss Kapetsky was the president. The PTA.
Any thoughts on what she did do before the war?
Yeah. That's an interesting question.
Oh, guys.
She's a school teacher.
It would have been answered in Barbed Wire 2.
Yeah.
I hope.
That would have been a prequel.
This is also
an origin story.
Do you have a spec script that you'd like to show us?
Guys, I'm handing it out to everybody. All your parts are highlighted. The rest of this episode will be a reading of my spec script for Barbed Wire 2.
I will say this is interesting. I'm just looking at this right now. The writer of the movie is a director on The L Word, was a writer on The L Word.
Amazing.
And the other movies that she did were The Real L Word and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Those
nice.
Are her credits.
So you're suggesting that maybe this person is an L?
I'm just suggesting that I'm surprised that it is actually written by a woman who seems to be aware of women's issues more than like a dude like, yeah, she I'm like being called babe. Like in my mind, I thought it was just like a dude wrote this movie. So it's interesting. Goes to June's point.
Yep.
That maybe a more enlightened woman.
Yep.
It's
based on the writings of noted feminist Andrea Dworkin.
Yes, of course. Let's talk about this. I don't know why I keep on going back to this, but when she goes undercover as a prostitute,
she
sees a sweaty fat man walk down the street who's carrying a shopping bag full of porno magazines.
Because in 2017, everybody still buys porno magazines.
And this guy
everything's
can't get,
back in print.
This guy can't get enough. Like he's jerking it to the point that he needs to fill a supermarket bag. It was too many.
Well, he only gets out to the store once a week. The streets are dangerous.
Yeah, I guess he's like stocking up.
You know, he's got a great pull list.
So
make sure I don't want any of these. I don't want over 50 to sell out before I come in. So put it aside.
Put it in the
for
back.
Me.
I'm good for
I'm
it.
I'm coming in every Wednesday when porno mags come out.
Well, he's a very smart guy because when she approaches
hey, the new
him,
mags are in.
Yeah.
It was also an aggressive. She's a prostitute. He's not looking for a prostitute, and she kind of approaches him. And is like, hey, want to do this? He's like, oh, let me see your card. And she has a prostitute card.
Yeah, because in 2017, prostitution is apparently legal.
And I guess the card tells you if you're healthy.
What's
he wants
nice
a, her
about
medical
it
card.
Yeah.
Is that it clearly the, what's it called again, Harbor City?
Steel City.
Steel City.
Steel Harbor.
Steel Harbor.
Steel Harbor. Steel Harbor. Come on, guys. Steel Harbor.
Steel
so
Harbor.
So the streets of Steel Harbor, well, the half a block that they built and show repeatedly throughout the film.
Same block.
It is a nightmare. There are, like, people stabbing each other and people running around. However,
collecting tolls.
The prostitution card authority apparently is in top-notch shape.
Yeah, you cannot bring back a prostitute.
High-quality prostitution cards to people who have had full medical examinations.
That's the one place where they really keep it on the up and up because it's a free city.
Because they care.
People want to get their rocks off. It's fine. mine. It's that's why you go to cool. Steel Harbor.
That's a passion project. You know what I mean? It's not just something that the civil servants are doing for a paycheck.
It's also, I think, probably a pretty powerful statement about legalizing prostitution.
Yeah.
Look, this movie is about forwarding a lot of agendas, as we've seen so far. The brother who we talked about.
Oh, boy, Charlie.
Charlie, blind.
Blind as a bat.
Blind as a bat. But not really, because he seems to see everything without any movement. There's literally a scene where Barb is passed out, or almost on the verge of passing out, with her legs up in a booth. He comes in. There's no motion. He goes, oh, hey. Like, he knows where she is.
Just like when the guy hides something in the bar.
Yeah.
He knows exactly where it is and finds it.
Basically, the guy, Clint Howard, comes in.
Oh, it's Clint Howard.
Clint Howard hides, like, a tube underneath a steel staircase. And the blind guy is spying on him. And he's like, got it. He has better eyesight than Daredevil. Like, Daredevil, at least,
Working
off of, like,
has a sonar-based system, basically.
This guy has no sonar. He's better than Daredevil.
And is an alcoholic.
We should do Daredevil, by the way.
All the time.
Yo. We should do Daredevil and Elektra back-to-back as one show.
That would
show.
Be amazing.
That would be a fucking awesome show.
I had issues with the Daredevil brother who seemed to have too much. I thought the big reveal was going to be that he had his sight.
No.
Yeah.
And the big reveal was he was a dummy. I also love, one of the things I love is that, like, the free area is Canada, and Canada has all of this value, this mystical value for everybody. And
I want my money Canadian.
She turns in one of her bounties. She catches a guy and turns him into the bounty, Clint Howard, and he's like, I will only give you 10,000, and she's like, 20,000 Canadian now. That is the only time that's ever been said in
like
any
the
movie.
Most emphatic request for a Canadian anything.
Pointless money.
I want maple syrup.
Yeah.
Canadian.
Did you guys hear there was a huge heist of maple syrup recently? There was an enormous heist of maple syrup.
Where did this go?
This was an NPR story that I heard recently.
Maple syrup.
Yeah. Was this in Harbor City?
It was not in Steel Harbor.
Steel Harbor.
It wasn't. Well, I love that we cannot remember that the name of the town is Steel Harbor.
Thieves hit a warehouse holding $30 million of Canadian maple syrup.
I'm telling you. I'm not kidding around, guys. How about the obese man who lives in a forklift?
Let's talk about this guy. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Now, I know you've heard a lot about Audible because you listen to podcasts. You're not a dummy. You know that there are books on tape, but there might be some things that you don't know. Did you know that Audible audiobooks can be played on iPhone, Android, Kindle Fire, Windows Phone, and like 500 MP3 players? I didn't even know there were that many MP3 players out there. But Audible can be heard on all of them. Why? Because it's an easy technology. It's like saying a CD can be played in a million different CD drives. That's what Audible is. Audible is the universal CD. Does that even make sense? Do you know what a CD is? Most importantly, did you know that you can get a free audiobook and 30-day free trial by visiting audiblepodcast.com/how? That's right. Our show's called How Did This Get Made? So you go to audiblepodcast.com/how. Need a suggestion of a book to start with? Well, why don't you listen to Sarah Silverman read her book, The Bedwetter? That's right. Sarah Silverman, hilariously funny. That book is actually great. I read it with my eyes, not my ears. But you can read it with your ears and just go to audiblepodcast.com/how. Get that book. Listen to it. Sign up. You'll be amazed. And you can pretend that you're smart by reading, but you've just been listening. Today's episode is brought to you by Squarespace. And I got to tell you a couple things about this website. It is amazing because here's the thing. They launched a whole new product. It's called the Squarespace 6. All right. It's a do-it-yourself website builder that allows you to make your website and blog in what? A few hours? A few days? No, a few minutes, okay? Gives you a free domain name, handles all the hosting, has a 24-hour customer support. So if you're up at 3 in the morning, you're like, hey, how come this picture isn't loading up? They're going to answer it, okay? Got beautiful templates, drag-and-drop interface, which means you can drag something from your desktop onto your browser, and it fits your screen. It works. You don't have to be some sort of HTML nerd. It's simple. It's like a Mac computer, but smarter in the sense that you can make these websites. I didn't know anything about making websites. This makes it easy. You can also pull content from your existing blogs, push content out to your social networks. You can put it on your blog and then shoot it out to your Facebook or your Twitter. Everything is drag and drop, like I said. The templates are beautiful and super clean. And there is something really special about Squarespace. Everything that you do, and this is what I'm going over this again, it will
basically fit perfectly on an iPad, an iPhone, and computer. So basically, whenever you pull it up on any device, when your friends pull up your website, it's going to look normal. It won't look like, oh, I have to scroll over to the side to see this full graphic. No, it makes sense. So if you don't have your own website or blog yet, go to squarespace.com/cage, as in Nicolas Cage, and start a free trial with no credit card required. And when you're ready to purchase Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code LITERALLY to get a 10% discount. Guys, this is so easy. You have to do it. Squarespace.com/cage. Use that offer code LITERALLY. Start building websites. Get on that information superhighway with Squarespace.com. All right, where we last left you, Jason brought up one of my favorite characters. Continue, Jason.
Okay, so at one point, Barb is like, she's basically got to get out of town. She has the only thing of value, which is a set of contact lenses that will fool any scanner, because the only way they can clearly identify people is through retinal scans.
Like a
right?
giant, unwieldy yes. retinal scanner.
And they're trying to sneak this woman out of the country who's had plastic surgery so that nobody knows what she looks like anymore. But you know what? Her eyes are still her eyes, so they yes. can still identify. Identifier. So she's got the contact lenses, Barb. But she doesn't want to fucking help her ex-boyfriend. She wants to sell them on the black market, make as much money, and get out of town to Canada.
Because Barb doesn't take sides.
Right. Barb doesn't take sides. So she goes to the dump.
You know that from that incident back when she was the office manager. The thing with the coffee maker.
Never got involved.
Guys, I'm not taking sides. All I'm saying is whoever uses the coffee pot last needs to clean it out.
I'm talking to Barb.
Barb Kapetsky, get in here.
Oh my God, I want a prequel to this movie that is everything leading up to the Civil War.
And it ends
it
with
is
her.
Just her as an office worker in like the Civil War. Looks like it might happen. And then yeah. it's like Planet of the Apes.
And it has to end with her getting the barbed wire tattoo.
Yeah, because I feel like she got her boob job after the office job.
Yes, right. Definitely.
Like, while the war was imminent.
Well, she probably got it from like a frontline doctor.
I feel like she's like a slutty girl who got that down at Jersey Shore, and she was like,
"Wait, you thought she was slutty?"
Well, no,
I'm just kidding. She's a stone cold whore.
But she got that like slutty tattoo. She's like, "Yeah, that's what I call myself, barbed wire, because I got that cool tattoo."
Why don't people know she's barbed wire? Like, some people are like, oh my God, it's Barb Wire. And then some people have no idea who she is, but she appears
by
to be
way,
like...
the most attractive person in Steel Harbor.
Yeah, and is like, people are like, whoa, Barb Wire, Barb. And then the military guy's like, oh, excuse me, Miss Barb Wire, could I get a dance? Yeah. But yet, like, nobody on the streets is like, hey, you're fucking Barb Wire. Like,
yeah,
you're not
a
undercover.
Real prostitute.
Yeah.
I want to play
that's
the,
how you dress normally in your day-to-day life.
So Barb Wire...
she does not take off that outfit.
You didn't even have to go into your costume kit.
Yeah, she doesn't really... Yeah, she didn't put on anything.
Maybe that's why she always takes those jobs, though. Just because those are the outfits she already has.
Because she's already there. Yeah, that's she doesn't want to change.
Yeah.
She's I want to collect a bounty. I don't want to change. I guess I'll be a whore.
So she goes to the dump to meet this character called Big Fatso, who is carried around by a backhoe, like an
earth mover.
Like a
earth
mover. Full-on ditch digger, yeah.
Yeah, and he is so big, like Jabba the Hutt style, that he's in the thing. I want to play the clip of Big Fatso and Barb. You get a little hint of their repartee.
Big Fatso, how's the king of the underworld?
Well. This is Barb the Fatso.
A gesture.
She throws her donuts.
Ooh, donuts. I thought I'd be hearing from you real soon.
I have a proposition.
Oh, now, ain't that sweet? But you know I only like big, fat women.
And that is, that's just...
Did he say, you know I only like being fat?
He's
big
fat women.
Oh. He misunderstood. He thought she was trying to.
She was coming there to get a lay on.
I thought he said, you know I only like being fat, baby.
Oh my God.
That's all his enjoyment in life is being fat.
And by the way, that's coming through in the performance.
Yeah.
So
he's also in that scene eating a giant turkey leg.
Like a medieval times style turkey leg.
Like he went to Six Flags, got a turkey leg, and then met with Barb Wire.
The saddest part of that scene is like he's sitting up there in a dump truck like it's a throne.
Yeah.
And all of his underlings are all looking up at him. He's sitting.
It's like Mad Max style. He's like a Mad Max.
But by the way, what kind of power can you wield when you have to be
carted in the underworld?
But you have to be carted around by a big earth mover. I feel like you'd be a prime person to be knocked out. Like, you can't.
Well, let's be honest, guys. Spoiler alert. He meets a pretty gruesome end when Xander Berkeley, I just realized, is Claude Rains from Casablanca.
Yeah.
And Xander Berkeley is supposed to take Barb into custody, but instead secretly gives her a hand grenade when the police have got them surrounded, which she just, her tactic is to throw the hand grenade into the air.
And everybody
scatters. The grenade lands on Big Fatso's big fat tummy and explodes his entire body into a sloppy mess.
But it is so lame. It's so, she just tosses it.
Yeah.
She just tosses
and
it.
There's no real strategy.
And everybody scatters like, whole, like, nobody does, it's, and they are allowed, they, and the cutting is amazing, because it's like the grenade in the air, and it's Barb and those, she's like, run! So they all, and the grenade is still in the air, they get in their car, the grenade is still in the air, they start the car, like, they get...
She's got a great arm.
They get so much accomplished in the time that the grenade is in the air, it's like impossible.
Oh,
that's a really good way, though. If you want to really take care of business, like you on a Sunday morning, you want to get the house clean, toss that grenade as far as you can, and then just go for it. You know, get the Swiffer.
The challenge for you, I want to talk about that because she obviously teams up with her ex-boyfriend and his new wife, and there's a great line where she's trying to cover like how she knows them to the police, and she's like basically says like, "Oh, this is like they're a couple," and she goes, "I like a good menage." That's what she says. I like a good menage.
But no, that shakes off the heat every time.
They would have no, I mean.
And not even a menage a trois.
Nobody's going to follow up
like,
on that
just
one.
A good menage.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
And I love that, like, when they're upstairs, right, and they see the cops all come, the cops raid her bar, right? They're all upstairs and they're like, well, what are we going to do? And the cops are looking for her ex and his now wife. She's like, come down in 3 minutes. She already has the menage idea and knows it's going to work. As if to say, my sexual conquests have nothing to do with you.
But by the way, it doesn't work.
No.
No.
It only works.
The plan
works.
Was simply to just have them walk down the stairs and walk out the door? That was her...
No, I think menage was her idea. It doesn't work. Thank God Blind Charlie managed to break the face scanner.
Okay, so you think that her plan was they'll be so shocked by this menage thing and intimidated by it.
That they'll just let them walk out.
They're intimidated by it, that they'll just... Okay, I assume.
Like her sexual frankness will make the men so uncomfortable that they will be like, oh, then you guys can get out of here.
Get out of here.
Because there's no way these sexual deviants who are now making us think of our own sexy thoughts could be the escaped resistance people that we're looking for, even though they look almost exactly like the escaped resistance people that we are looking for. We are dumb.
Oh, my gosh. Obviously, we had a strong opinion about this movie, but there are some people who had a higher opinion of it. Right now, it's time for a second opinion. These are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon.com. There weren't many. I would actually say of all the times that we've ever done this is the least amount of 5-star reviews.
Well, that's surprising because we've done way worse movies than this.
This is from Marlena Steinbaugh. She says, Pam Anderson doesn't play the dumb blonde in this one. She's a woman in control with plenty of brains and brawn. If you like movies of the future and what happens after the big war, then you'll love this one.
What big war?
Yeah. They take she the big it. War as red.
Yeah.
If you've seen enough movies about the big war.
This is a classic big war movie. And then it goes,
wow.
Her favorite saying in the movie is, don't call me babe. And watch out, guys, if you find a gal saying that to you.
You find a gal saying
if
that
a gal
to
if a gal
you.
Saying that to you, that basically means you're about to get killed.
Yeah,
oh, right.
Yeah, because
okay.
you just
okay.
called her
you
babe.
Called her babe. Got it.
And he goes, "This movie should be re-released and given the credit and advertisement it deserves, and Pamela Anderson deserves. Her performance should have won an award. If you only listen to critics,
an award. I'm not going to say which. Just an award.
If you only listen to the critics, you'll miss one
award.
Of the best movies.
A Cleo.
So if you only listen to the the critics, you'll miss the best movies, and this is number one on that list. Don't Call Me Babe.
Whoa.
Five
Marlena,
stars.
I would like to take up, and I would like our audience to take up Marlena's cause, and let's try and get this movie re-released. With the proper
advertising.
With the proper advertising and marketing that it deserves.
Yeah. Mad Hatter writes, Pam Anderson is a leather-clad badass, good with a gun, and makes lots of explosions. Plus, you get to see at her best quite a few times. So long story short, booms, bombs, badassness, and boobs. Five stars.
That guy is killing it. The four Bs means five stars every time.
Four quadrants, four Bs.
And this is my favorite last one right here. Titled, Get Off It! All of this is in caps. Anyone who doesn't like this movie obviously doesn't like to have fun. This is a fun movie. And just because it's a fun movie doesn't mean it's no good. And I happen to think Pam Anderson is very attractive. So sue me.
Oh my God. And just super quick, we have not touched upon the guy in the camp outfit. There are things that happen in this movie that we haven't even talked about that are bonkers.
We introduced a character named Big Fatso with no comment to the fact that his name in the film is Big Fatso.
And they call him Big Fatso. He calls himself
Big Fatso, which is why I think you misheard his line, because he's putting out an energy where he's so psyched to be Big Fatso.
He put that weight on for a reason.
I would say that the actor who plays Big Fatso is the actor in the film who, I don't know how to put it, does a thing. He's like, you know what I'm going to be? I'm going to be the guy that loves being Big Fatso.
Yep.
I'm going to put on. For a minute, I thought it was Shaquille O'Neal because it had the quality of, first of all, because I'm a racist.
I was just going to say that it's very racist. Yep.
But because it had the quality of like Justin Timberlake on Saturday Night Live, where it's just someone that's proud that they're doing something.
Yep.
Sort of like someone who's really good at being in skits at summer camp.
Well, I felt the same about the John who bought her services and then
the
came
sweaty,
out.
Sweaty Grosso?
Yeah, and who came out as a dressed in all leather as a gimp. Did anyone else notice that when he was waiting for his punishment with, by the way, a paddle that had frat letters on it.
Yes.
Of course. Because in 2017, after the big war, there are still fraternities.
Of course.
Of which he was a member.
And also, I mean, there are a lot of fraternity-related fads that have returned.
Yep.
Pole sitting is very popular in 2017.
And
dance marathons.
Pushing pianos off the top of dormitories.
Sure.
He was making the strangest noises with his lips.
Oh, yeah. He had a real wet mouth.
Yeah.
That guy had what we had, what we call in the biz, a real wet mouth.
What do you call that now?
RWM. Real wet. That guy was horrible for the sound guys on this movie. They were like, we got to dry his mouth out.
Can I just...
Get him some more saltines.
We got an RWM on our hands, and it is not good. It's just slobbering all over the place like a fat dog.
I just wanted...
Oh, how about the dog that bites people's nuts?
Now.
We haven't even talked about the dog.
I know.
Guys, this movie is crazy.
Yeah. The dog, though, there's a lot of genital mutilation in this movie. We got the boob torture, vagina torture, dog who likes balls.
God.
And the dog who likes balls not only clamps onto a guy's junk, but then slowly drags that guy out. Wouldn't the balls
all
come off?
Yeah, he sort of waves his hands in the air like a weird, and goes,
he doesn't do anything to stop it.
We also haven't talked about when they take the dead guy, when the Nazi bad guys take the dead guy, put him in a tub of ice, hook electrodes up to his brain, and watch the last moments of his life on a computer monitor as if you can do that.
After the big war.
Guys,
it's just like Wild Wild West.
Haven't we seen that in another movie?
Yes.
Wild Wild West. What is happening? All the same things are happening in all these terrible movies that we see.
Somebody was just like, that works. It's all the same. I just want to go back to one thing really quickly because I thought this was interesting. I got silent while I was looking for it. I would like to read you some of the...
Thank you for acknowledging why you went silent. Because
everyone
listening at home
wondering.
Was like, where's Paul?
Where's Paul?
The guy who played Big Fatso, he has had some choice roles in the past. Some of them are Thick Neck, Packy, Big Jim, Muffin, Skidmark,
No,
Sandman, a lot of, and I'm not going to read the ones that are just like big, big whatever, big Frank, big Jim.
Do you think
big
he's
Jace.
Holding on to the weight because he feels like he's not going to get work thing. Without
Fat
it?
Fat man, heavy G, and burly man.
Oh my God. He works a lot.
Oh, he works a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of bodyguards, prisoners, and security guards.
There, the nice thing about his weight, tinies. Though, is that he's not so fat that it's like
and Black Caesar.
Upsetting. It's,
and Black
he's
Caesar.
Just the right amount.
He's not, the nice thing is he's not so fat that it looks like his crazy fat suit is real.
Yeah.
It's sort of, it gives you a nice contrast between yes. man and fat suit that you're really looking
yeah,
for.
Yeah, it's really understated, and that's where the production design comes in.
Remember when, I'm pretty sure it's Barb, while fighting someone,
it breaks, been Martha.
Breaks his neck, like audibly breaks his neck, like crack,
right.
The guy is dead, and she goes, sweet dreams.
I did not remember that.
By the way, I feel like that was a better performance.
By the way, I felt really good about it.
You did really,
can we check
it.
The gate?
We did it.
Moving on.
You just got cast. Merlina Dietrich wants you in her remake.
Sweet dreams. Guess what? That guy is dead. You just killed him. My thinking on that was she just thought she was knocking him out, and then they added the neck crack in post, and then Sweet Dreams didn't make any sense anymore, but they still left it in.
Oh, guys.
Because I'm trying to make sense of this movie as I'm watching it. How about when she's hiding behind a thin wooden table?
Yes, I wrote that down.
While people are shooting machine gun bullets into it. You know, guess what bullets pass right through? Wood.
Can a table stop bullets?
And no.
No.
You guys, you're referring to the final fight sequence.
No, we're talking about the kidnapping sequence in the middle.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right. Well, I was obsessed with a crane operator in the last sequence who's
oblivious to the enormous fight that's going on.
Like all action films, everything comes to a head in a grand conflagration that takes place on the docks of Oakland.
Oh my God. This is amazing.
Or possibly Long Beach.
Yeah.
One or the other. There's only two choices, really. And
I would prefer the docks of Steel Harbor, but
well,
okay.
What they do in this film is they do everything they can to compress your sense of space, I think is how the director would express the fact that they shot all of the film in 225 square foot areas. but this fight is going on the docks, and it's insane. Mm-hmm. People driving earth movers, people, you know, like, there's a bulldozer involved, somebody's impaled on a bulldozer, like, it is crazy.
Not Big Fatso's.
Yeah, and
this
then...
is post Big Fatso's explosion.
And then this one, the freedom fighter, the Maori guy, who speaks with an Australian accent,
Axel.
Goes up and finds this guy, and I know this is your moment of truth here in this film.
Well, he finds this guy who's operating the crane. Well, first he has a huge fight,
on top of a crane.
Yes. Okay. And then,
like an enormous crane,
giant.
Like used to take cargo ships apart. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It's
now
like three stories
very
tall.
Very high up.
Yeah.
Three stories. So it's a very, they both have amazing balance.
And such great bodies.
Insane choreography and are maintaining this. I would say they're on a 5 foot ledge.
Yeah.
Like 5 foot
It's not a lot of space.
Small. No.
It was actually an impressive fight scene. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was great. This is the best movie ever.
I liked that fight sequence.
5 stars.
Directly after that one, there's another fight sequence, hand to hand, between Pam Anderson and what's his face.
Yeah.
That's also on a.
You mean what's his face, not James Remar?
Right. Tiny little area on top of a car, also in the air, 3 stories high. No different from the fight sequence we just watched.
Yep.
Because it's showing that women can do the same thing that men can do.
Yep.
Okay, but the performance I'm obsessed with is after Axel wins his fight scene, he comes down and finds a crane operator.
Who's not a bad guy.
Who's just a crane operator. Who's just a guy.
Just working in Steel Harbor, checking prostitute cards, getting his porn, just trying to make a living.
Anything
just to set
on.
The scene, multiple explosions have happened.
Yes, that's
multiple
correct.
Gunfights, and this guy is oblivious.
Not only oblivious, but I would say having a great day.
He's having a great day. Meanwhile, this guy jumps into his cabin and it starts going like, oh, which one turns this thing around? And he's like, oh, this one. He's like, which one that makes it go up and down? And at that point, I'd be like, hey, man, what are you doing here?
This guy is
why are you in my workspace?
Yes. The thing is, this guy's in a super good mood. He just found out his wife packed him a fruit roll-up.
Yeah. A 2017 fruit roll-up.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. He's psyched to answer these questions.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's like, finally, someone's taking an interest in my work.
I won't ask where you came from, how you got in this here.
What's going on?
I know you're not a threat.
I'm thrilled someone is showing an interest.
And by the way, I've not
really
paid...
it's an Australian of color? Yes, please.
And I've
Even
not...
Even better.
I have not paid attention to all the explosions that are going
Correct.
On here. Like the guy from Godzilla... Totally oblivious to the giant Godzilla running around, just working his crane. Just working his crane.
So now here's my question. So immediately after he finds out which lever, I guess, picks things up, Axel kills this guy or knocks him out. Okay.
Are you okay?
The guy wasn't
okay. I'm not going to be okay, and I'm not going to be okay. After that, he lifts up. This is where I really got lost in the movie. Axel lifts up.
This is where? Because this is the end.
I was in the whole way through.
I got lost minute two.
I wouldn't say that there was a point where I had found the movie.
He picks up a car that Pamela Anderson Lee is on.
He picks up a forklift that has smashed into her motorcycle and a car.
Now,
so it's a sandwich with a motorcycle in the middle.
Okay, here's my question. Why pick that up?
Oh. I know.
Why pick it up?
I know. Because he can. Because he's on a giant crane.
Because it would have been not climactic to be on the ground and have
Correct.
That fight scene.
Correct.
It needed to be
He could have gone down and tried to rescue her on the ground.
I have to assume that he didn't see her there.
But here's my
I
issue.
Have knows to assume
no.
That she,
no.
He did that on purpose.
I think that it's like, you know how those Kenyan runners, they say they're stronger because they train at altitude?
Right.
I think he knows barbed wire, trains at altitude. He's trying to get her into a place right. where she has a relative
That's
advantage.
That's when she kicks in.
I think he, because what he basically does, and this is a, you know, like they are, keep in mind, they are trained military, both he and Barb. So he knows that the safest way to execute this fight is to put her as high in the air as possible.
It's you want to, the high ground.
Is to increase the danger.
That's a second
That's
civil
That's a classic
war.
Military move. Increase the danger.
If there's anything that I learned
My
from...
My buddy's in trouble, increase the danger.
Raising him.
When I watched Ken Burns, the second Civil War, I learned about the importance of holding the high ground.
Well, you're a big war fan anyway, so
sure,
the big war.
I can't
war
get
everyone.
Enough war. Yeah,
the big war is the
we're
one.
We're talking about the card game now.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Now we're getting to the part of the movie that I particularly
oh
love,
my God.
Which is the end. The end of the movie where.
Wait, I know. Don't say that because I need to say something about
this. Great.
So when he lifts these up, the fight goes on. The car that is impaled on a forklift. With a motorcycle in between is way high up in the air. At some point, this drops out of the sky, and it causes the most enormous explosion.
Yes. There like are Hiroshima lot, level explosion.
There are a lot of sort of unwarranted explosions in any action film, and certainly in this one.
Yeah, and that's what we sign up for. I mean.
But what?
But
so this
wait. So you're telling me if you drop a Camry, it will not explode like that?
But the thing is, this is
a forklift. Is known on the side of a forklift. It says, "Danger! Do not drop.
Do not drop this."
Will
yeah? No, I mean,
well,
it's like,
forklifts are made out of gasoline. Am I right about that?
Yep.
I don't know if I'm technically right about that.
Gravity detonator.
And old cars are made of C4.
Is this like a Fat Man and Little Boy situation?
Yes.
Where they have to make sure that it will only explode if it drops from a high enough height, and that's built into every forklift.
And that's probably what Axel was thinking. He was like, if I can get this high enough and drop it, it'll explode.
Yeah.
With not James Remar on it.
All right. Not James Remar. But then here's the line of the movie that they shoehorn in because they need a good kill line, because what's her thing? Don't call me babe. Don't call me babe. So, and I hope I'm saying it right, so please correct me if anyone, they're hanging from this thing, it's precarious. The guy says to her, it's 2017, in a world where Batman exists, he says, you know, this reminds me of my favorite song.
Yep.
I Got You, Babe. At which point, she goes, don't call me babe, and then kills him. But that's a fucking crazy stretch to get to that. This reminds me of my favorite song, then says it.
From 60 years ago.
60 years ago, which you would never have remembered. And I barely know that song. And he didn't call her babe.
Yeah.
He referenced the song in which he didn't go, I got you, babe.
He said it reminds me of that song.
Yeah, why couldn't he just say, suggesting that he has her in that moment?
Yes.
Well, but
why not just have a line of dialogue that is like, I got you now, babe.
Just or something Sonny stupid has like had that. Cher
great
and vice
reading,
versa.
Jason, great
By
reading.
The way, I'm killing it today. Yeah, guys, do. I need more work. I'm in the zone.
You have a lot of juices stacked up inside you.
I'm in the zone right now.
Are you guys ready to be really upset? The reason why the babe thing is called up, the entire Don't Call Me Babe motif comes from the original advertising for Barbed Wire, the Dark Horse comic book, in which she said those words to differentiate herself from a buxom, slightly airy comic book heroine named Babe. Huh. So, like, the only reason why it's Don't Call Me Babe is because
I'm not that other lady.
One that you realize from the other comic.
Oh, I guess funny. It just shows my frame of reference. I had assumed it must have something to do with Babe Pig in the City. I guess. I don't know. I just couldn't put it all together, but I love Babe Pig in the City. I was trying to think, what does this have to
I
do
love that
with
it?
You just like the sequel, Babe Pig in the City.
Yeah.
You're not a fan of Babe.
Babe is good, but Babe Pig
really
in the City
comes
is better.
Into it, so it's like the,
it is.
It's like the empire of the Babe trilogy.
Yeah, you guys don't know, but I'm deadly serious about this. I love Babe Pig in the City.
Now,
one of my favorite films.
Now, apparently there is an unrated cut of this movie available on Blu-ray, which has
and
a ton more nudity. She's topless during the opening credits, and several partially topless scenes are put in the film.
Interesting.
Why didn't I watch that one?
It wasn't on the Netflix that I watched.
No,
it's not even that I think that Pamela Anderson Lee is not my area of interest when it comes to beautiful
ladies. To lady bits?
However, that having been said, I did still feel like, why did I watch a whole movie with her that basically almost had no nudity in it?
Yeah.
You want it.
What do you men want to see?
Oh,
just nudity.
I want to see everything.
Jugs. I want to see
what else could we have seen?
Sweet
I want it. You know what I want to see? You
melons.
Know what I want to see? I want to see.
Yeah.
Boob wire.
And pussy lips.
I think we've covered it, right? I think we've done everything that needs to be said.
I want to see your beef curtains. Yeah, right?
If you haven't gotten
you
it
know
ready.
What? You know what, guys? I, for one, just want to see her clitoris.
By the way, if there was such a thing, I'd like to see you prove it.
There is a clitoris, and that's how you torture women in the future, when they found it, and they use it as the supreme torture.
Oh, my God. Guys, just watch this movie for the scene in which they torture the woman in a steel bikini.
Just imagine Slave Leia from Star Wars with an electrode attached
exactly.
to all of it.
It also reminded me very much of the Weapon X sequence of Wolverine, where he's in the tub and they're injecting adamantium into his. Yep,
guys,
that as well.
It's on Netflix.
We
it
should do Wolverine as well.
Nothing. It don't cost nothing. You can watch this for free. You can spin around. I would recommend that you should check some of this out.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'll put your hand
but
on that
by the way, get this Blu-ray. Apparently, it sounds like it's boobies and boobies.
Jesse Bullseye. How do people get it?
What's MaximumFun.org. You can search for it on iTunes and get it for free. My public radio arts and culture interview show.
We got you have a bunch of great stuff.
Comedy chat show, Jordan Jesse Go, Judge John Hodgman. I'm the bailiff on Judge John Hodgman.
Very funny show.
Like Bull? Are you like Bull?
I am actually, you know
Love
what?
Night
we're
going to
do, we're do. We got some live shows in New York coming up, and I did some costume research, and I decided to go with the Bull look.
I like that.
I like that. Well, definitely check that out. We have t-shirts. You can get them here at theearwolf.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Thank you to everybody here at Earwolf, which is everyone who's great. And also continue to watch NTSF SDSUV on Adult Swim every Thursday night at 12:15 after Children's Hospital, the
Emmy Award-winning Children's Hospital.
And Jason, anything you have?
No, not really.
June, anything you have?
Couple episodes of Animal Practice coming up September 26th.
Oh,
how about the league?
Oh yeah, the league will be
How about the TV show we're both on, Paul?
Yeah, at that I don't know when this is airing, but you may still have a couple weeks for that. But October 11th, the league comes back, and you should check that out. All right, thank you very much. We'll see you next time. Bye bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. The wolf dead.
Hey folks, Paul F. Tompkins here, the host of Spontanea Nation. Just wanted to let you know that all month for Pride Month, my show Spontanea Nation features all LGBTQ improvisers and guests. That's right, everybody in the room except me, Eben, and our engineer is someone from the LGBTQ community. And this is not what should happen, but I will tell you this, for this month of Pride, Spontanea Nation has more LGBT guests than any other podcast on the network. And we're very happy to have these fantastic folks. These are some funny, funny, funny episodes with some really wonderful performers. Please do check it out. Spontanea Nation, Mondays from Earwolf.